Now please stand for the reading of God's word. Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew 7, 24 through 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace and wisdom. Help us not only to hear your words, but to obey them. May we treasure them in our hearts and build our lives on them. May you be our foundation. Help us to draw strength from you, rely and trust in you, so that even in the worst of times, we will not be shaken. Thank you for your promise that you will hold us firm, no matter what storms may come. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much. You may be seated. So Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the sum and the summit of Jesus' teaching. If you want to know the heart of everything that he taught in his ministry, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is where you need to look. And there's a lot of different lenses that we could use to look at the message on the Mount, but the lens that we have been using is this single word, uncommon, that Jesus wants us to be his uncommon followers. There is no such thing as a superficial Christian. In fact, the word superficial Christian is an oxymoron. It is a contradiction in terms. And what Jesus calls us to is to live lives of uncommon influence, uncommon integrity, uncommon forgiveness, uncommon generosity, uncommon trust, uncommon obedience, on and on. Live an uncommon life. And I do very much appreciate what John Stott said years ago. He said, apathy is the acceptance of the unacceptable. And there's times for all of us when we become apathetic and apathetic about our faith, when we begin to accept those things that are unacceptable. So Jesus calls us to an uncommon commitment. Now, before we look at this very last paragraph from the Message on the Mount that we just heard, I want to jump to the very end of the Message on the Mount, because after Jesus talks in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, there's a reaction from his first hearers that I think is worth noting. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were astonished at his teachings, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. So two words jump off the screen at me here. First is the word astonished. Their mouths were agape at what they heard. They were astonished. In fact, that word there means rattled. No one had ever talked to them like this before. So I'm a communicator, and so I look at communication events where people really did it right or did it well. Okay, one of my favorite to look at, and you can see this on YouTube, January 20th, 1961, Inauguration Day for John F. Kennedy, and the poet selected not only to write a poem but to deliver it at the inauguration was Robert Frost, 87 years old, and he wrote a poem called Dedication, just for the inauguration. So he stands up to read his poem, and when he had typed it out on his typewriter, his ribbon was so faint. Do you even know what a typewriter ribbon is? The ribbon was so faint and the sun was so bright, he couldn't make out the words on the page. And so what followed is a really awkward moment of him trying to cover the paper, shade it with his hat, with his hand. He couldn't do it. Finally said, forget about all this. And it was a very awkward moment. And then he started to recite from memory a poem that he had written years earlier called The Gift Outright. And let me tell you, Robert Frost, 87 years old, brought the house down. I mean, it was this cool moment of clear communication, and people were astonished. People had never heard a teacher teach like this before. They were used to their scribes who, it was like presenting a research paper. This person said this person said that. Jesus just spoke from his heart and spoke from the heart of God about this gift outright that we have of the grace of God. And they were unnerved by it. But not only were they astonished, they also recognized that he had authority. There in the second to last line, he taught them with authority and not like their scribes. Every now and then, and you've experienced this, you hear something with the ring of truth. You just go, I know that to be true. So last week I used a quote by Emily Griffin. I'll use it again this week. Emily Griffin said this: it's not enough to believe in Jesus. We must belong to Jesus. Just that little statement has the ring of truth to it. And people recognize that in Jesus' words. Authenticity, authority. They were astonished. Okay. So what is it that Jesus said that had this ring of authority? Well, as he finishes up the message on the Mount, he says these words: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house. That's like Oklahoma's favorite verse in the Bible right there. Rain, river, winds. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. So, just an honest reading of what Jesus teaches here. He expects from you and I two things as his followers: that we will listen and that we will act on what we listen, on what we hear. So, husbands, have you ever had this event? You're riding with your wife in the car, and she's talking away, and you're saying, And then she says, are you listening to me? And you say, yes, dear. And then she says, well, what did I say? All right. Gentlemen, here's what you do. You summon all your integrity, okay? And you say, honey, I'm so sorry. I was not paying attention. I was so distracted by how beautiful you are. I just wasn't. So again, so you can do that once, maybe twice. Third time, you're on your own. That's all I got, guys. That's all I got to give you. Okay. There's a difference between just kind of listening along or a deep, deep listening. Jesus says, I want you to listen very deeply here to what I teach. And as proof that you're listening, I expect you to practice what I'm saying. Okay, so I want to reframe everything that's about to happen to you this week. All right? You have things that you expect to happen to you this week, and all of us will experience things we don't expect to happen this week, right? So let me reframe everything that's going to happen to you this week. This week is going to be your opportunity to practice the teachings of Jesus. When somebody insults you, either on purpose or not, guess what? That is your opportunity right there to practice what Jesus said about forgiveness. Will you practice it? The next time you meet somebody this week who you don't like, that your first instinct is, there's something wrong with them. They ain't right in the eyes. Right? You know what I'm talking about. That's your opportunity to practice not being judgmental as Jesus has taught us. The next time you meet somebody you kind of like, but you're busy, you don't have time for this person, it's time for you to practice giving influence to somebody else as Jesus taught. The next time you're tempted to worry, it's your chance to practice trusting. So listen, the athletes that you and I watch, professional athletes who amaze us, they work real. Now, they're naturally gifted, but they take their natural giftedness and subject that to an unnatural discipline. NBA players will work 70 hours a week, and most of that is off the court during game time. It's when the game's not going on that they're practicing. Major League Baseball players, season opened this week. For the 170 days of the Major League season, that includes 30 days of spring training, 140 game days, Major League Baseball players work 10 hours a day. Pablo Casals, give you more artistic illustration, greatest cello player who ever lived. Pablo Casals, from the time he was 5 to the time he was 95, practiced the scales 4 hours every day. His rationale was all music, it goes back to the scales. So to play great music, you have to practice those scales over and over again. The people who are best at what they do practice. Being a success does not happen accidentally. Being a Christ follower does not happen by accident. You and I are called to practice every day through every opportunity what it means to obey Christ in any given situation. So now if you're thinking, man, that sounds like a lot of effort. It is. And some of you are going to resolve, okay, let's right now, I'm going to put my knuckles around this. I'm going to white knuckle it and I'm going to obey everything Jesus told me. Well, you'll be a wreck by the middle of the week. Okay, because it is a lot of effort. You need more than effort. You know what you need? You need affection. What will drive our obedience to Christ is not our effort, and some of that is needed, but it's our affection. Silly illustration. Why do I do the dishes every night? I don't do the dishes because I love dishes. I do the dishes because I love my wife. And actually, that's one of the reasons I had kids, so I could delegate the dishes to them for a while, for a couple years. Then I'll get it back later on, right? But I do those things every day, not because I love the dishes, but because I love my wife. As you practice obedience, you cannot rely on effort alone. It's affection for Christ that will transform your life. Simple illustration. An old English village. Two young teenagers kind of got sideways with the village and they decided they were going to steal. So they went to the baker and they stole a bunch of goods and they got caught. This little village had never experienced crime before. And so they felt the need to act in a very strict way, and in doing so they overreacted. They branded both of these men with a C right on their forehead for criminal. One of the men could not take this criticism and this outward mark of his failure, and so he left the village never to return. But the other young man was remorseful for what he did. He loved his village. He was disappointed in himself for how he had disappointed them. And so he decided to stay and to serve every day in every way he knew how. When somebody was replacing a roof, he was there to help. When someone was building a barn, he was there to serve. When someone was carrying wood or water, he picked up the weight and he carried it himself. An entire generation went by. His crime and the punishment just kind of faded into the background. And one day, a little boy asked his father, "You know that man with the C on his forehead? What does that stand for?" And the father said, "I'm not sure, but I think it stands for Christ." Isn't that interesting how affection has the power to transform? That by loving his village, he went from a criminal to someone mistaken for Christ. The same thing. You can try to white-knuckle your obedience. And that's good. But what really transforms us from the inside out is falling in love with Jesus Christ. And as we fall in love with him, we act in ways not because we have to, but because we want to please him. Are you listening? And are you obeying? Well, then Jesus also says there's another way to live. Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Rain fell, rivers rose, wind blew, pounded that house, and it collapsed. And it collapsed with a great crash. Let me give you a phrase. The phrase is nominal Christian. Let me say that that is a contradiction in terms. Nominal Christian is an oxymoron. Those two words do not make sense together. And I'm going to play with that here for just a second. Either the Christian will eliminate the nominallessness of it. Yeah, sorry, that's the best I can do. Or the nominal will alleviate the Christian. One's got to give. There is no such thing as a nominal Christian. So I want to give you a couple of questions this morning. Are you really a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you really been listening to him and acting accordingly? Are you really a follower of Jesus Christ? And it may surprise you when I say that just going to church, believing in certain things in here, and trying to live a good lifestyle is not equivalent with being a Christian. And in fact, it may be that you're more in love with going to heaven one day than you are really in love with Jesus Christ. Are you really his follower? And then if you say yes to that, my next question is, in what area of your life are you yet a follower? And what I mean by this is we tend to compartmentalize our lives. And there's certain parts that we'll let God into, but other parts we kind of bar the door. Have you let him in, free pass to every area of your life? Sexuality, your business life, your home life, your parenting. What area do you need to let him into next? And I don't say these things to raise any doubt. I say this just to raise our awareness that apathy is the acceptance of the unacceptable. And we are called to be uncommon in our commitment, in our relationship with Christ. So Jesus has used an illustration throughout this entire teaching, this last paragraph, that of building a foundation. So you're building something. Everyone in here is building something called your life. You're building it, okay? And depending on what you build it on will dictate what's going to happen to it later on. Because, and this is not a threat, this is just reality, a storm will come. We will all face a storm in life, a crisis in life. And if you have built your life on sand, it's going to fall apart. And if you've built it on the rock, it will stand firm. So we have the perfect illustration just beyond these walls. We're building a children's building. Since Christmas, we've had this area shut down, and you can go out and look at it right now. And for the past couple of months, it looks like barely anything has happened. You know why that is? Because everything that has been happening below the ground. It's all happening underground right now. You see, we could go out tomorrow and just slap up a building, and it would look good as soon as it's finished, but a couple of years, walls would start to crack and move, and we could do it fast, but we wouldn't be doing it right. So to do it right, we go out, and for the last couple of months, they have dropped, get this, 53 piers, each 30 feet into the ground. That building ain't going nowhere after it's built. So when the steel structure starts coming up out of the ground and we add the walls and the glass and people are meeting in that building, we know it's going to stand firm. So that's a fair way of interpreting Jesus' illustration. But to get the real flavor of it, we need to go back to Jesus' day. You can see in your mind, just kind of see that image in your mind of what you imagine the Middle East to look like with a sloping hill and the houses built into the side of hills. Why did they build their houses there? I mean, it's jagged, it's steep, it's rocky. Why didn't they build their houses on the valley floor with the sandy loam and the even spaces? Well, because in the Holy Land, it's dry about 10 months out of the year. And at the beginning of that dry season, you can look at that valley and say, this is a perfect place to build my house, right here. But you know what? A storm's coming. And when the rainy season comes and the ground is so dry it can't absorb the water, flash floods race through those valleys and anything built in its path will be demolished. So you have the choice to build down here on the sandy, flat parts where it's easy, or to build up on the rocky, slopey parts. It's difficult, but it's going to last for a long, long time. The challenge here is to build our lives on someone that will last. So here are the two options. You are either building your life today on yourself, and when the storm comes, you will not be able to stand up on your own. Or you will build your house on Christ, and no matter what comes, you will stand firm. What do we sing all the time? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Are you building your life on Christ? are you truly his follower? So several years ago in the Royal Navy, there was some controversy because a sailor had committed a minor infraction and it was punished very harshly. And so when that story leaked out to the civilians, they began to banter back and forth about the Royal Navy being too harsh and too difficult. And finally, a Royal Navy officer, a captain, wrote in and just kind of quashed the whole problem. He was a captain of his own ship. And one day, he said, on one of my final missions, we were tugging a larger battleship out to sea. And I was standing on topside. I was looking back at the cable stretching back to this battleship, and we were tugging it along. All the sailors were doing their jobs. And he said, I saw the steel cable break. And I saw all the tension and the torque unleash as that cable came like an angry metal snake closer and closer to my ship. And I gave one command. Down. And every sailor on deck, without a hesitation, dropped. And because of that, everyone survived. But if there had been even one sailor who would have said, well, that didn't make any sense to me. Why is he wanting me to drop down? That would have been his last thought, because he would have died. And what he said was very important, that obedience is the true test of character. Listen. Our obedience, we are called to obey Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear this last thing very carefully. We do not believe in a salvation by works, but we believe in a salvation that works. That works to follow Jesus Christ in every single area, and in so doing, to become uncommon. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together this morning. So I want you to have just this moment between you and God's Spirit, and I want you to deal with this one question. Am I a nominal Christian? I'm not doing this to raise doubts. I'm just doing this to raise your awareness, to ask a question that needs to be asked. Am I a nominal Christian? Now, if you would take that phrase and just put it right in front of you, nominal Christian, which word do you want to kick out of that? I only want to... At the end of this, I just want you to have that one word in front of you. Is the word nominal going to stay, or is the word Christian going to stay? Choose one. Also, there may never have been a time when you've invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. I want you to know today that there is somebody who loved you enough to die for you, to take the weight and the burden of your sin, and to eradicate it on the cross. And more than that, he was stronger than death. He lives again and lives still today. And if you have never said yes to Jesus Christ, in this moment, right here, right now, in the silence of your heart, you can make that confession. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, thank you for being our Lord, our leader, our forgiver, and our friend. And may our affection for you transform our character. Again, not because we believe that we need a salvation by works, but a salvation that works. You have given all to us, and so we turn around and give it all to you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for these moments today in your presence with your people. Jesus, it is in your name that we offer our prayer. Amen.